Hey everyone, you are listening to a mini episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and it's the middle of August, or the end of the middle of August, the beginning of the end of August. Anyway, so the past couple months I've been doing little bitty check-ins for the summer. Instead of taking the summer completely off, I decided to do some What's Jeff Watching mini-episodes. So you didn't forget that I was still around and still watching stuff. And you can commune with me and keep me and Aunt Beth a part of your life for these hot months. Anyway, so I was just on vacation last week, Long Beach Island, as per usual. So returning from that, it felt like the perfect time to check back in for a What's Jeff Watching mini episode. So when we do the What's Jeff Watching mini episodes, the deal is it's just me talking about movies and TV shows that we don't cover on the full-length episodes. Because, I just felt like, hey, I just want to get my thoughts out there. And if my listeners wanted to hear them, if that just happened to be how they were feeling, then, here you go. If you just wanted to hear my voice, if there's anyone out there who happens to fit that description. But anyway, since Aunt Beth is not also on the microphone at the moment, I asked her if she was watching anything that she'd like to mention. So she mentioned a few shows: Lincoln Lawyer, Reservation Dogs, Full Circle, and Painkiller. I'm watching one of those shows as well, Reservation Dogs. Interestingly enough, I hadn't finished the previous year's season. I believe that was season 2. I was like, oh, shoot, I gotta get going. I gotta get in gear and make sure I finish that up before season 3 premieres. I really gotta fit that in. Then I realized I only had one episode left. So I watched the season 2 finale on the week that season 3 arrived, but I'm not at the moment fully caught up. With a vacation and everything, it got a little behind in my TV viewing. More on that in a second. Just want to wrap up Aunt Beth. Her quick review of Painkiller is good, but nowhere near as good as Dopesick. On to the business of vacation viewing specifically. We had some discussions there about, what are your favorite movies that you've ever watched while down at the beach? Because we kind of had a tradition, or at least a semi-tradition, or it was never quite an official tradition, but it happened a lot that we would go see a movie, maybe just one movie, during our beach week. That was a good time of the year to go see movies. There was always a summer blockbuster out. Although, in more recent years, it kind of feels like everyone's like, I don't want to give up on my beach time. I don't want to go see a movie while I'm down here. I can see a movie when I'm back in normal life again. And I think what also changed was that there were a couple of small theaters, one or two, on Long Beach Island, but they've since closed. So now if you do want to go see a movie, you have to go off the island. The closest theater is the Regal Manahawkin, which isn't too far away, but for some of my family members, it seems to go against the spirit of being at the beach to drive away from the beach. But anyway, we talked. That was a conversation we had. It was an interesting one. Maybe that could be a full-length episode or something we could dive into more deeply on the podcast. Movies you've watched on vacation. I mean, a couple years ago, we did our pop culture vacations episode where we discussed movies and shows and even songs maybe that featured the characters going on vacation. But you know, another way to look at it is what movies have you watched and or TV shows while you yourself were on vacation? But anyway, so yeah, I wanted to mention just some of the things we happened to watch while we were down there. Mamma Mia was ended up on the TV. And Miss Congeniality was on there. I've never seen it. I've seen the sequel, I believe. I believe I saw Armed and Fabulous in the theater, but I'd never seen the original. I missed the first 10 minutes when we headed on last week because I was out getting ice cream, but then I caught pretty much all the rest of it. I was very glad to hear the scene about the perfect date. And there's some World Cup games. We were all sad when the United States ladies lost in just penalty kicks and by the closest of margins. And then the last few nights, we started introducing my mom to Arrested Development. All the rest of us have watched the series in its entirety, and she is liking it so far. So maybe she's finished season one already by now. I'll have to check in with her, and maybe she can let me know, and maybe I can pass an update along to everyone here. As for new stuff, well, okay, so I did say I was going to get to something. Yeah, because I mentioned I'm not entirely caught up on Reservation Dogs. I am caught up on Reservoir Dogs. That's just one movie, fortunately. So that's, you know, just in about 2 hours. I have watched that movie at some point. But Reservation Dogs, I have watched all of the first two seasons, but still need to get caught up on the third season. I believe as we are talking, I think 4 episodes have arrived thus far, because there were 2 released on the first week and then 1 per week since then. That's kind of how that's Hulu's normal pattern nowadays, although then there are of course some shows that they do release the season all at once, and I don't know what the rhyme or reason of it is to all that. I wish all shows were weekly releases, except for daily shows of course, but talk shows and game shows, syndicated game shows, Jeopardy, those can all be daily releases. But yeah, I know I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it again until the decision makers finally realize what we're saying. Please, oh, please, oh, please, just one episode at a time. Thank you very much. Yeah, so you might think, oh, with the writer's strike and the actor's strike, well, that's time for viewers to be able to get caught up on things. Well, I don't think we've really been feeling the effects of the strike yet, or at least I haven't. I mean, with late night TV, we have all the talk shows and SNL suspended production pretty much immediately. But the shows that were all set to air over the summer, they had completed production before the strike started, or they were reality shows which weren't affected by the strikes. So if, you know, they were doing like more or less real time, or like the production being pretty close to airtime, it didn't matter there anyway. So I've actually found that this summer has been a busier TV viewing summer than me than usual. So I haven't been able to get caught up. I think I'll be able to get caught up a bit in the fall because, the broadcast networks revealed their fall schedules, and they were very much strike-proof schedules filled with reality shows and game shows and reruns. It was like, well, we'll put our most popular shows on. We don't have any new episodes, but here's some reruns of Abbott Elementary and Young Sheldon. So, yeah. Yeah, so shows that were supposed, that were scheduled to air June through August, they had their show, their episodes ready to go anyway. And, yeah, let's mention some of those shows. I mean, a whole bunch, but let's not get overwhelmed by mentioning everything. So I'll just mention the ones that I'm most excited about. I really want to mention After Party. It's in season 2 on Apple TV Plus. And in both cases, it's a murder mystery. Season 2 has a couple of the same characters, Sam Washington and Zoe. Wait a minute. Zoe? That's her name, right? Zoe Chow. Yes, that's correct. And Sam Richardson, not Sam Washington. Is that someone? Sam Washington? Is there a Sam Washington? It looks like there is an English director of films and commercials. But anyway, I'm talking about Sam Richardson and Zoe Chow. I was confused about Zoe there for a second because her character is also named Zoe. So I'm like, is Zoe the actor or the character? Well, it's both. Anyway, so those, and Sam Richardson, his character is Aneek. So Aneek and Zoe, they are back. And so is Tiffany Haddish as the main detective. So the idea of the show is there's some festive event that results in a murder, and then all the participants at the event have to stay behind and be questioned as to find out who the murderer was. And in this season, it's a wedding. Zoe's sister is getting married to some dude who ends up dead on the day after the wedding. And the hook of each episode, so each character is telling their story, and so each episode is an homage to a certain type of genre. This season we've seen homages to film noir, Wes Anderson movies, erotic thrillers, and epic romances. So it's kind of, I've been saying it's, in my head, this might be the first time I'm vocalizing it. I've been saying it's like the inverted version of my favorite show of all time, Community. You know, because Community had a lot of homage episodes. And in their version of reality, it would be one person, usually Abed, he would want to do an homage to some type of movie or TV show or genre. And he would convince everyone else to go along with him and do the same homage. But on the After Party, each individual character is living in their own particular homage. They're going through life thinking, I'm living in a romantic comedy, or I'm living in a Regency romantic drama. And they're all experiencing the same event, but in through their own particular lens. And yeah, it's a fascinating look into each of these characters. And, you know, I think it rings true to me as someone who is familiar with all these genres and who, you know, thinks of myself as the protagonist of my own story. And I know I'm not alone in going about the world that day, but, you know, it's valuable to be reminded the people around you are kind of doing the same thing, but maybe a little differently. So, and it's often funny as well. And then another show that just came back, a show that I am very excited to watch, even though it released every episode of this new season all at once. I'm talking about Solar Opposites on Hulu. A very silly, frenetic, animated sci-fi sitcom. They replaced one of the main voices. Justin Roiland had been on it for the first 3 seasons. But he had some legal issues. He was being accused of... let me look this up and make sure I get the details correct. Yeah, so he was charged with domestic battery and false imprisonment of a woman he was dating at the time. The charges were eventually dropped, but I believe there was also chatter about him not being the best, most reliable person to work with. So he was dropped from Solar Opposites, and his part was recast with Dan Stevens. So Dan's doing his own English accent, so the character of Corvo now has just a new voice, and they explain it in the season premiere, and it works well enough. Then they just get on with the business of the rest of the show, and it involves the season premiere involves the two main adult aliens, Terry and Corvo, trying to get a ping pong table at their office job, and their boss is voiced by Randall Park, who is also in Strays. He voices a Great Dane. Randall Park's voice is all over the place for me. Strays I enjoyed a bit as well. That's what I've been watching lately. Well, just a sampling. That's what I was most excited to talk about at the moment. Anyway, next few weeks, we've got some sports that I'm super duper excited for. The U.S. Open, as always, tennis version. We got the World Athletics Championship, that's track and field. Little League World Series, and NFL season's not too far away, and also college football season, right there with it. I hope there are fewer concussions than ever. And the Emmys are not coming very soon. They've been pushed back to January, with the hope, of course, that the strikes will be over by then. We shall see. Until next time, keep your remotes handy and your eyes open.